Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galati. He is Andy Shea. Andy, the traveling man, been out and about all week, but you're settled in, ready for some Penn State football talk?
Ready. I watched that game last Saturday night, by the way. I'm sorry, Penn State fan. That's whoo, man. That's hard.
Do you know what's interesting, Andy? In every one of these four losses, they had the ball in their possession late in the game with a chance to win the game and did not.
That's one. I also think that in three of them, I don't think in the Oregon game, but I think in three of them, the defense had an opportunity to
get a stop,
close out and win the football game, like finish the job, right? Like they were given a lead, the slightest though, but they just, like, I mean, that's embarrassing. Like that was, what was it? Three plays? Was it three plays? And like, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, the only thing you have to worry about is the quarterback running the ball. And he just ran like 80 yards on you. I don't know how many it was, but he ran because it's been a long time since I watched a Penn State football game and watched their defense play and was kind of disgusted. Like, not angry, but like, that's just bad fundamental football, bad coaching. There's like six layers to it, but that's not what we want to talk about. But I'm just saying it was bad. I thought for a first start, the quarterback was like, you know, chippy, right? Like gamey, like he wasn't very good, but did you really expect him to be good? No, the game overwhelmed him a bit, but he got some help. The offensive line found its groove. They were a little stronger and more physical in the running game. That was necessary and needed. I think that's what Terry was talking about in the week leading up to the game. We need our strengths to be a better version of our strengths. And I thought they showed that, but I watch that defense and I'm just like, they ain't it. They don't have any of it that you need.
A couple thoughts, Andy. The issue with the opposing quarterback scrambling for these long runs, they're not containing them at all. It'd be different if this hadn't been happening previously, but it was. It's been a constant occurrence. And to me, it's like, aren't there things you could do about that? This has been happening too many times for it not to be something to address by the coordinator. And candidly, and again, this was not on our agenda, Andy, but that's okay. Once we got started, I'm looking at it. Both coordinators
have been
a huge, huge disappointment.
Yeah.
And this is not my defense of James Franklin. However, I'm wondering if the better choice would have been to get rid of both coordinators a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, to me,
as opposed to the head man, I think it may have created more of a difference.
One of the things we talked about when James got fired so quick was we're going to learn how much, if he was like every bit of the problem, right? We know it still lies. The responsibility lies with him. Pat was going to make a decision to fire. He was the guy that had to go. And I kind of thought, to be honest with you, Jimmy, and you guys out there, guys and gals that listen to us and know, like, I kind of been a defender / fan of the coordinators. Like, well, maybe they've been hamstrung. I thought maybe they've been hamstrung or limited, or James got his fingers in too deep. And now I realize it was four quarters, but it was four quarters of the exact same, you know, not chicken salad, but chicken you know what, that you had been seeing before. And in other words, there were inherent problems that James is responsible for that Pat couldn't avoid that had nothing to do with football and the offensive and defensive coordinators. Now we know, at least by that game, yeah, you know for sure because you add the body of work in before, they're not doing a really good job this year. Neither one of them.
Exactly, Andy. And I understand and I've been told, well, gee, you can't expect major changes in a week. But you could expect changes. You could expect things, you know, the defensively, it's hard to imagine that James Franklin was saying to Jim Knowles, hey, Jim, this quarterback scrambling and getting 50 yards on third and long, don't worry about that. I don't picture that happening, okay? That's yeah. Under the defensive coordinator. And on offense, I don't think, you know, James is saying, hey, you know this really good running back we have named Nick Singleton? Let's make sure he doesn't get any running room here. Let's just run him right up the middle so he averages 2.5 yards a carry. I don't picture that happening. So, you know, I've wondered about the coordinators all season. I think they've been bad. And seeing them with James not there and seeing no difference at all, I'm laying a lot of that on the coordinators. And no, I'm not saying James should have stayed on, that Pat Kraft made the wrong decision. Not saying that. Okay, not saying. Maybe what I'm saying is the coordinator should have gone also, Andy. Maybe it's an and, not an or. Okay. Anyway,
anyway, let's keep going. It was more of exactly kind of a little bit of the same. They did fight hard. That's Terry's a little bit of Terry's influence, but they, you know, they played like they had some dog in the fight. They're too far gone.
Well, I think the coordinators have a lot of responsibility here. Let's move on, Andy. Let's actually get to our agenda.
Okay.
I did want to ask you, and obviously we've talked about this during the week, but I wanted to get your take. Maybe the bigger news item last Saturday, bigger than the actual game, was James Franklin chose College Game Day for his first public appearance and public comments. Just wanted to get your take on that.
So I watched it, obviously. The word that comes to mind, Jimmy, is like, I didn't know what to expect, right? Like I saw that he was going to appear and I'm like, oh, okay. This will be interesting. Having watched, read and seen a million James Franklin press conferences. This was cringy. That's the word I've landed on. It was cringy. If you didn't think Nick Saban was going to defend him and all the guys sitting with him on the stage were going to fawn over him, then you're just not really smart. That was always going to happen. But it was like an open interview. Like he was marketing himself. Like he was on brand, messaging, you know. Just, you know, like he had already, and you need to keep moving forward, but he really didn't want to look back, right? He like wrapped up the Penn State thing in like what, 90 seconds, Jimmy? And then they were gone. Then it was over. Like, well, let me just wrap this up and we're moving forward 1-0 this week, right? Like, 1-0 for James, 1-0, James, 1-0, James, James, James. It was almost like if he would have said that, I'd have been like, yeah, that sounds about right. It was kind of odd. The last thing I'll say that struck me was, and this is maybe a little bit of a me thing. Maybe some of you out there can relate to this. The part where he said, I this is my identity. This is all I know. I don't have any hobbies. You know, that kind of stuff. Like, I don't golf. He said, I don't fish and blah, blah. And I'm like, this is all me and my family. Like, first of all, I'm like, whoa, your family doesn't have their own. Like, you drag your family into this arena with you? Whoa, frightening. It's just personality wise, it just was like, that's to me, it's dangerous. If your identity is wrapped up, who you are is wrapped up in what you do, that's dangerous. Just to me, I don't think that's healthy. That's not healthy from my perspective. And I just, the way he sold it, it was like, I have to do this. Like, I need to do this. Somebody hire me. I got to do this. And I was like, ooh, frightening.
Well, Andy, a few things. First of all, I think Penn State fans, Penn State writers, people who've seen his press conferences for years, all were disappointed or were negative about it. My response to that is, you weren't the audience.
Correct.
He's interviewing for his next job. Absolutely. He's not talking about the last job. The last job, it's over. Oh. When you interview for the next job or you're on the first date, you don't talk about the old girlfriend, Andy. You don't.
Well, good, bad, or
indifferent. Yep. You don't do that. He had a message and he did it. And it was fascinating to me, Andy, if you look at the people from other Wisconsin, Florida, the places that need a new coach.
Wisconsin need a new coach? Oh, just joking.
Those people were going gaga over him, okay? He got the message across. And the other thing, which was pointed out earlier in the week, and our colleague Chris Buchanani pointed this out to me, and I'm repeating it, Andy, because I think it's important. When you see Nick Saban slobber over James Franklin, kissing his behind, cringy. I know you and I had a different expression to use. Remember, Nick Saban's agent, a fellow by the name of Jimmy Sexton. Huh.
Who's Jimmy Sexton?
He's James Franklin's agent. They're on the same team. They're teammates. Nick Saban was doing his job there. Not his job as an actual analyst. He was doing his job as a teammate of James Franklin under the same agent. So remember that. And anytime, anyone, anywhere will use the word journalist and ESPN in the same sentence, Andy.
Uh-oh. Angry Jimmy alert.
We prefer Salty Jim.
Salty Jim. Okay. Angry. Salty, yeah.
That's a contradiction. They are not journalists there. They are not. Okay?
Entertainers.
There was not one journalistic question given to James.
Yep.
And that's what you got to remember. All right. That's it for quarter number one. When we come back, we'll see if there's any more Salty Jim left.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and teardown when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Salty Jim. We're moving along, Andy. We talked about James's interview with his potential new employers is essentially what that interview was last week on College Game Day.
That was an infomercial, Jimmy. That was an infomercial. We know what they are because we're old enough. I mean,
that's what it was.
That was the Ginzu knives of college football coaching right there.
It was. And the interesting thing to me, like I said, is I saw so many reactions to people who were, wow, that's my next coach. That's who I want. And I'm not saying, you know, from James's perspective, I mean, it was well plotted out. He had his, as the old song goes, his ad-lib lines were well rehearsed, Andy.
Oh, yeah. He was on brand. He was prepared. Marketing, he moved on like that, Jimmy, in a nanosecond.
Yeah, yes, he did. All right. Well, let's look a little bit forward, Andy, because there's two things. There's James is going to need a job. Penn State needs a coach. So first of all, when you look around, what I'm wondering is, what is the best job opening? I think, you know, we have at the top of the heap, I think, is Penn State in Florida, and we have some other jobs, Arkansas, Virginia Tech, that's already open, UCLA, Oklahoma State. I think the Florida State and Wisconsin could soon be added to the list.
Auburn,
good one, very good one. How do you rate these jobs? Let's start at the top. Where does Penn State fit in the pecking order?
Yeah. Penn State's number one. They're closer to, like, they have elements that put you in position to play at a high, to be at a high level in the conference and to be at a high level in the college football playoffs, right? Like, they've been winning. They have an established winning culture. It has now gone sideways. There are a lot of things to consider. Football-wise, like comparing Penn State and Florida, Penn State, pure and simple, is a better job by a mile. You have some money issues at Florida. Those are separate, right? And I'm going to talk more about Penn State money in a second, but Florida has money issues in terms of under-resourced. Let's put it that way. In other words, the boosters aren't – those that have the money aren't spending the money on the football program right now because they don't see it as a good value proposition. They have potential for money, but it's just not – an open resource pipeline right now. Football-wise, I think there's less firestorms or that you will have to put out football-wise. Like, they don't have recruiting classes that are falling apart, and you know, you don't have the idea of 25% of your roster at least going to the transfer portal potentially. There's some firestorms at Penn State that come with that sort of high, you know, top of the alpha dog at the top of the food chain job. Football-wise, building Florida back is miles easier and better job. Because at Penn State, you have dysfunction and toxicity. That's what James has left. That's what he left. Football dysfunction and a sort of a toxic environment in the relationship with the fans and how the football fans view the program and what he was doing and where it is right now and all of that. There's some layers to it, but Penn State's at the top of the list. The resources are in place. I kind of wonder about that, to be honest with you. Are they really in place? I mean, where has all this football money come from? And it's come a lot of it in the last 2 years. Is it a one-hit wonder or is it sustainable at this level? I mean, Penn State's never been known as a football money school, but it appears they kind of might be in that arena right now. Can they stay there and is that sustainable? Or is this just a flash in the pan? That is one of my biggest questions about all of this because we know that the resources, the money, it matters. But to answer your question, pure and simple, it's Penn State. And it's not even really close, Jimmy, right now. Penn State's miles the best job. Blue blood, history, tradition, fan base, 106,000 stadium, under renovation, facilities. Penn State's miles the best job.
Well, in looking at it, a lot of people will say Florida for a couple reasons. First of all, what better recruiting ground than Florida?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And then they're in the Southeast Conference, which has its positives. just the paycheck.
Yeah, big. But
the negative to the Southeast Conference is if you were going to rank Florida among the programs in the Southeast Conference, just real quick, top of your head, where would you put them? First, second, fifth, tenth?
Florida? Overall, right now, in the SEC.
Yeah, first instinct.
Sixth or seventh?
Yeah, me too. Yes. I think just rattling off, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, you know, maybe Auburn.
Irrelevant. Yeah, they've been so irrelevant football-wise. We're just looking at this. When's the last time they were really relevant?
Right. Exactly. So I think that's a tough job to win. I think Penn State's closer to getting there. Now, you will have that Ohio State mountain to climb.
Oh, wait, never. Not going to move. That is Diamond Head. That ain't moving.
Oregon is here to stay.
Yep.
And then, you know, Michigan, Indiana now with Kurt Cignetti there. But I think Indiana needs more time to establish themselves before we start naming them a blue blood. My point being, I think Penn State in the Big Ten might be better than Florida in the Southeast Conference. And then as far as the money goes with Penn State, I feel like traditionally I've been used to saying, you know what, Penn State doesn't have the money that some of these other folks do. My tipping point was two things that happened this offseason, Andy. They win a bidding war for the defensive coordinator. Never thought that would happen.
Correct.
And number two, all these returning players. And I think they wanted to win a national championship. Don't get me wrong. Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, Deni Dennis Sutton, Zane Durant, they don't come cheap, Andy.
No, they are not.
So the money was there. And not only did Pat Kraft feel comfortable pulling the trigger fairly quickly on James Franklin, which means they owe him money, but also he knows what it would cost to also get rid of his entire staff, bringing in a new head guy, which he says they're going to be shopping in the elite aisle, okay? Which tells me he's got to feel like they have the money to do this, Andy. And by the way, when you put $800 million into a stadium renovation, you better win games to fill up those suites, Andy.
I could not agree more. I agree 100%. My only question is it sustainable? Is this spend so that they are building something sustainable? That's a very, very slippery slope.
It is. I would like to think that Pat Kraft is smart enough that he knows the money people, as we're calling them, are there. All right, Andy, with these lists of schools that we're talking about, where's a good fit for James Franklin?
So, yeah, I've thought about this. I don't think so one of the reasons I think he was fired is he proved this season to me that he's not capable of driving an elite car. Like he can't, I used it as an engine thing. I said, he can't drive a V8. So I think he's got to have a 4-cylinder or a 6. And I think he likes to build. I think he likes to create new culture. I think you want to know where I think he fits best. It's kind of a weird fit because his former defensive coordinator was the one who got fired, and that's who he would be replacing. It's at Virginia Tech. They have some history. They are I always think they're one of the most overrated teams, even when they think they have a good team. I'm like, they really don't. And they never really reach that next level. I think for Virginia Tech, winning 10 games a year or 9 games a year and winning a bowl game, that's or making the being a fringy team that makes the college football playoffs once every 3 years, that's going to make them very happy. And that's what you're looking for. James is your guy, right? Like, If you want your brand stamped at the next level, and he's the guy to do that.
You know, Andy, I've heard that Virginia Tech bandied about. Of course, he's recruited well in the DMV. He has history in Maryland. My issue, though, is Virginia Tech, they haven't been investing in their program.
I know.
And I think James wants to win a national championship. I don't think he can win a national championship at Virginia Tech. I'm thinking, in the Southeast Conference, where there's Georgia, Alabama, they're not going to come knocking on his door, okay?
Nope.
But schools like Auburn and Auburn's Florida, a good one. They are going to knock on his door. Now, Florida's going to have to convince him that they have the resources, that their financial issues aren't a problem. But Auburn, I think, is an example. And it's not too terribly long ago that they won a national championship. They're in the Southeast Conference. I think James, in a great recruiting area, Auburn actually does recruit pretty well, probably better than their results. I think Auburn is a place that James would say to himself, I could win there.
Yeah, he coached in the SEC. I like Auburn as well. You asked me for mine. I went to Virginia Tech. Sounds like you're choosing Auburn. I think Auburn is would be hiring James Franklin in Auburn would be very intriguing to me.
It would be, and I also think he would like Florida if Florida could convince him of the resources to do the job there. I think he would salivate at recruiting in Florida. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter two. Stick around, your questions, and we ask Andy.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter three. We know what that means. It's time for your questions and we're going to ask Andy. If you want to send in the question to Andy, it's right there on the app. There's the Ask Andy button, or if you want to just email me, info@ksnsports.net. All right, Andy, let's get started. Here's a fun one for you. Tara from Altoona says, longtime fan, first-time questioner.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Listening to the podcast about Franklin getting fired, I had a burning question and thought Andy could clarify something for me.
Sure.
Where exactly can I find a 7-layer cake topped with coconut and a cherry? Because while James Franklin getting fired may be disappointing to some, a 7-layer cake is never a disappointment to anyone. Signed, Fumble and Crumble. For those who don't recall, a week ago, Andy, I'm not even sure what you were referencing, but you said it was like a 7-layer cake covered in coconut with a cherry on top. Tara wants to know where to get that cake, Andy.
So when I was in Hawaii, there was a bakery that we went to. It's called Leonardo's. They have these Portuguese donuts, which are like ridiculous. It's a new discovery for me. I was like, oh my gosh, a new kind of donut, and they were so good. But they also had cakes, and they had a 7-layer coconut cake. And I love coconut cake. It was so good. So obviously, I had coconut cake on the mind and the 7-layer coconut cake. But that's where it came from, Tara. But that's a funny question. Thank you for lightening the mood. I didn't have to talk about Penn State coaching. I miss talking about football, but I understand this is what we have to talk about right now. Because it's what Penn State has. Unfortunately, Texas and Penn State were 1-2. What happened to start the season? But
don't forget Clemson.
Don't forget Clemson was like fourth or fifth. But what the spiral downhill has been so fast. The descension has been five times as fast as the ascension. It's almost like fans have whiplash and you can't keep up, and they're still playing football games. So I understand it, but that's funny, Tara. I thank you. A 7-layer coconut cake, even a 2-layer coconut cake with cream in the middle. There has to be cream. Like a 1-layer cake is like, what are you doing? Like, why even make it? You need a couple layers. The more the merrier, and you can put like a nice buttercream between your nice white cake with a little buttercream frosting, fresh coconut, and then put a cherry on top. Maybe you sprinkle some nuts. Maybe you don't. Some people put walnuts on it. I don't care. Walnuts, no walnuts. I don't care. But a 1-layer cake's like, oh, I'm not eating you.
Why bother? So bottom line here, Tara, is this. You ask, where can I find the 7-layer cake topped with coconut?
Honolulu, answer is, Hawaii.
We got to go to Hawaii for it. All right. Let's move on. Like that question. This one, I can't wait for your answer, Andy.
Oh, boy. Not feel pressure.
Matt from Massachusetts says, Jim and Andy, just to say a thank you to James for reviving the program from the 2012 pits of despair. Wherever he lands next, what last-minute advice would you give him?
Dare to be different. Dare to be different, James. Actually go back and look and analyze you and the job and what you identify as leading you down the path of dissension. What were the things that you have institutional control over, which is pretty much everything, that you need to identify that can't be the same and need to be done differently, and dare to do it differently. Look, he's going to brand market. He's good at it. He's going to recruit well. The CEO is less of a football coach today than he is more of a football coach, right? We know that. He's got a lot of CEO qualities of him. There's still an element of football coaching involved. Identify them, recognize them, find them, and pass them along, share them, or give them up, but dare to be different.
I don't know if what I have to offer, Andy, is related to what you're saying, but James Franklin, one of his best qualities is he's process-based, he's analytical. He has a game that gets rain delayed, that interrupts his team. He goes to his binder, writes up what he should do, a whole process if they ever run into that again. There's the binder, there's the rules, there's the process for everything. He goes into an interview on College Game Day. It's scripted, Andy. He knows ahead of time what he's saying.
Yep.
My last-minute advice to him is go off script once in a while, James.
I think we're saying the same thing.
Don't be so scripted. And a thing that I brought up, the UCLA game, that first half of that game was an utter disaster. It was terrible. And at halftime, he was interviewed before even getting to the locker room. Instead of being emotional and really letting it out, it was, well, we got to clean up a few things. There's some inconsistency. He stayed on script. Now, I don't know if that's what he did in the locker room, but in my mind, he should have turned over tables, punched lockers. He should have let his team, his staff know that that performance was unacceptable. And it's the same way, you know, in coaching game day, occasionally go off script. Well, the book says on, you know, fourth and one from my own 29, I go for it against SMU. Well, the book might say it, but have a feel for the game. The only way you let SMU in that game, Andy, is if you turn the ball over to him in plus territory the way he did. Now, he escaped that one, but have a little feel for the game. Run a little bit of emotion there, Andy. What do you say?
He would do it occasionally, like he would go off script, but then you were like, what is he thinking? Like when he would step outside the box, his timing and his choices to do that, which were very, very rare, believe me, inside that box, he stays in his comfort zone. He is not going to step out of it. When he did, he just ended up like, why are you going for it on fourth down here? What are you doing? What is this, the timing of the game that tells you this is my moment to stand on the mountain?
See, I think, Andy, those things that some people think are going off script, they're not. They're really the analytical right thing to do. I think he's still staying on script, his script. You may not agree with the script. Anyway, we got more questions, Andy. Let's hit a couple more.
Let's go.
Steve from Chicago says, why is Nick Singleton still being put in on crucial third and fourth downs? Why don't they bench this guy and play some young talent? At this point, they should fire Kotelnicki. Season is over. I'm now prepared for 3-9. By the way, keep up the great show. Yeah. So he turned into Salty Steve from Chicago, but at least he seems to like our show, Andy.
Salty Steve is not realistic in 3-9 as that actually could happen. Yeah, Nick is not performed well, and I think after seven quarters he's talented, as he, you know, that's undeniable, but you got to perform. And you know what, I'm a big Nick Singleton fan. I watched him since he's been in high school. I'm like, a few minutes over there, or you know, half over there, and not getting, I don't disagree with you, Steve. Why not, right? Like, he asked the question, well, why would you do that, he's so talented? My response would be, why not? Because he's not performing. So why not?
I'm going to give my theme on Andy Kotelnicki. What, and I don't need an answer, Andy, but what has Andy Kotelnicki done to put Nick Singleton in a position to succeed?
Agreed.
Unless he's hurt, I don't think he forgot how to run the ball, Andy. I just don't. I'm putting that on Andy Kotelnicki. All right, let's see. Jimmy from Forest City. Andy and Jim, I think giving Jackson Smolik 11 snaps versus Iowa was ridiculous. The role they put him in was not appropriate. He's not a big, athletic, elusive quarterback, but that is what he needed to be effective. Also, it didn't help Ethan's rhythm to keep pulling him out. What do you think?
Yeah, it was just weird. It was like, football, what? What are you doing? What is the purpose and intention of this? Okay, how many snaps was it, Jimmy? Did Jimmy from Forest City say, was it seven?
No, like, he said 11.
11, and I think he came into the game like four, five, or six times, right? Like maybe even seven times. It was like, what is the purpose of this? I don't have a problem with it inherently. But after 11 snaps and six or seven times, what the f*** are you doing? Right? Like, what is going on? And I didn't say it. I stopped and paused. I'm like, what the heck are you doing? And
I may need to go to the tape, Andy.
You might need to. I did, Jimmy, 100%. I did it on purpose. I stopped. You know, I was going to say flag. What the flag are you doing? But I stopped myself there. We got ourselves covered. But I'm like, what are you? What is the purpose? I'm sitting there watching and I'm like, I think I might have texted. No, I didn't text you. It was another guy. He was like, hold on. Did they just change quarterbacks? I'm like, that's like the third time. What is the purpose of this? So that even goes back to your previous statement about Andy. Like, I'm putting this on him. I'm like, what is this? What are you doing?
Yeah, yes. It's almost like he was trying to capture last year's glory when Bo Pribula came in. But I don't necessarily think of Jackson Smolak as a more elusive runner than Ethan Grunkmeyer.
No.
And Andy, I kept waiting for him to come in
and throw the ball.
And throw the ball. Like, what? That's our ultimate plan here. Yeah. We're going to lull that defense to sleep, thinking every time he comes in, we're running the ball. And then, bam, over the top. There's it. Well, Andy, we didn't see it. All right, that is it for quarter three and Ask Andy. We got one more segment to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Bleepin Shea. We're ready for one more segment, Andy. It's been a fun show. It's been an interesting one. Let's go a little different angle here, this segment, Andy. We talked about some of the jobs that are open, where James Franklin might end up. Let's go the other way now. How about Penn State is in the process of looking for a coach? And before I get your answer as to who do you want, who should they be going after, I kind of categorized potential candidates. And I want to go through these and maybe say, is that the lane Penn State should be choosing? And if they do, who do you like among that group? And I classified people. Here's the first example, Andy. Urban Meyer, Nick Saban. Past legends, okay? There are people who say, before you hire a coach, you got to at least make those phone calls. I think Nick Saban at his age, I mean, he left the best job in the country. I hardly think he's going to head to Penn State, Andy. Urban Meyer, the other name, I guess it's possible. What do you think of shopping in that lane?
Stay out of it, please, Pat, please. Just don't shop there. Saban, right? Part of Saban's greatness is he knew and recognized that in this modern era where it's happened really fast and changed really fast, that sort of his best assets as a coach were no longer high enough on the food chain for him to be able to do this job at the exceptional level that he knew he was capable of. To me, that's part of greatness, is being able to say, what I have done is good enough and I can walk away. I don't need this. I want a coach, but I don't need this. That's part of greatness, Jimmy. You know, it's the build it. He can build he can manage and, you know, move it along. And can he recognize when it's time to step off the stage? They're all part of greatness. And I think for greatness, you have to have all three. So stay out of that lane. Just Urban, you know, Urban Meyer is part of the Ohio State torture chamber that Penn State fans live in. Why do you want that guy? No.
Andy, you know what? I hadn't thought about it the way that you presented it. And you and I were chatting about this yesterday. And you brought up, you know, the example of, say, Joe Paterno, who didn't know when to retire. He didn't know when to move on.
Stunts his greatness.
A little bit different setup, but I look at Dabo Swinney at Clemson, who was like at the pinnacle, hasn't been able to adjust to the new game.
Walk away. Yeah, it'll solidify his greatness. Bill Belichick couldn't walk away, had to get back in. Right. Tarnishes his greatness.
Either walk away or, in Dabo Swinney's case, I think he needed to adjust. All right, Andy, my next category is the big name coaches who, you know, do you have a chance at them? Ryan Day, I don't think, but Ryan Day, Marcus Freeman, Kalen DeBoer, Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, this is where I think Pat will take his shots. Once Pat says, we're going to go big game hunting, I think these are calls he make. These are money packages that he'll put together. And these are sales pitch decks he will make. I think this is where he will need to focus. I'm not sure if he'll get one of those fish, but I think he should have a pitch deck and sell hard in that arena. And I think that's where he'll put a good bit of his time, talent, and treasure and make that effort. Like, he won't just do it as a matter of he has to do it. I think he'll really put his rod in and throw his line in the water and go deep sea fishing. I think he will. And I think there's great value to it. I don't know if they get him, but I think that's the one where he'll put a good bit of more effort than you might think off the jump, and because they're worth it.
Who do you like in that group?
Believe it or not, I like Lane Kiffin. Not a program builder, not a marketing guy, I'm an Ole Miss Rebel now, blah, blah, blah. Lane's not that guy. Lane's moved around enough that he's like I'm a hired gun. Yeah. And I do believe I know how to save recruiting classes. I know how to make chicken salad out of chicken. You know what? I know how to make an offense hum, and you know, I could sell cheese to a rat with and the cheese is already in the trap, right? Like, that's what I think a little bit of what Penn State, they need a hire. If they're going to hire a big name, it's got to be a hired gun. Marcus Freeman is not a hired gun. That's your long-term program guy. And I just don't see them being able to wrestle him away from Notre Dame, but Lane Kiffin likes money.
I don't see Marcus Freeman leaving Notre Dame either. He's already reportedly turned down Florida's phone call. I wouldn't mind Marcus Freeman, but all right. Next up, Andy, how about guys with that Penn State Association?
Yeah,
Matt Rhule, Manny Diaz, Joe Brady.
Yeah, I wish people would put Terry in there, but they won't. And I think so. When I was watching Michigan, I just want to say this. When I was watching Michigan on Saturday, and I'm like, you know what? This coach is building something. They've had to be patient post Harbaugh, winning a national championship. They hired from within. They took a guy that was within, you know, long tenured. It's just, there's so many similarities. They didn't have the sort of toxic dysfunction and firestorm. They just had the sort of personality that is Jim Harbaugh, but I'm watching them play football and I'm like, this is how Penn State should do it. They won't probably, but I could see it. Like, I could see Penn State in 2027 or 28, say if Terry was hired, because I really like him, or somebody like that, they could do that. But the Penn State guys, I like Joe Brady. That's my favorite guy of the Penn State connection guys. I believe we've acknowledged before, we understand and know the Matt connection. I just don't think this is the right. There's not the elements that I think are Matt Rule's strengths here at Penn State that are problematic. I think Joe Brady strikes me as, I'm a Manny guy too. If you hired Manny, I'd be like, I'm good with that. I just like Manny Diaz. I just think Manny Diaz is a good football coach. Is he what Penn State needs? I don't know, but I think Joe Brady has more of what Penn State needs football wise, but I love me some Manny. I just think Matt Rule's third on that list, Jimmy.
I do too. I haven't yet seen him do something to show me. The other two guys the same way. Joe Brady's not been a head man. That scares me a little bit.
Correct.
Manny Diaz and Matt Rule maybe have some similarities in that they've been the head guy, but at programs that it's different coaching at Temple and Baylor and Duke than it is at Penn State or that level of program. It's different. But go ahead real quick because we got more categories.
Manny has institutional knowledge. That could be valuable.
And that's where I was headed with that too. You know, if does Pat Kraft want an absolute clean sweep, everybody gone and start over again, or does he say, you know what, I want Terry to stay, I want Ty Howell to stay, and Manny would have that tie and perhaps keep those people. All right, next up, Andy, are head coaches who are like at that next level program. I'm thinking in terms of people like Alex Golish, South Florida, Jed Fish, Washington, Matt Campbell, Iowa State, Kenny Dillingham, Arizona State. I got to think these guys, if you call, they'll at least pick up the phone.
They will pick up the phone, I'm pretty sure. The Washington coach, Jeb at Washington, he intrigues me as a football coach because I don't know as much as I should know about him. That's the one thing, but that's this. Matt Campbell is like, he's your solid human being guy, right? Like he's been at Iowa State for a long time, right? Like, and they're never
does great, he give you a little bit of Luke Fickell at Cincinnati going to Wisconsin vibes?
Oh, that's a possibility. That could be like, can he not swim in the ocean? He can only swim in the lake. Right? Like,
yeah,
that's a good question. That's a $64,000 question that Pat gets to answer. We don't have to. That's a good one. Well done, Jimmy. That's a great comparison. Yes, there could be that. So I think any of these guys, you could have that, right? Like, and, you know, they move around a lot and fast. They're transactional, not sort of relational building. I don't know exactly what Pat sees as the greatest need for Penn State right now. He has to determine that. I can't see what the greatest need is. There's like six of them and I can't disseminate them. That's what Pat gets paid the millions to do. So what do my gut instincts tell me? It's a big name who has a job.
Well, the first I'm thinking they're going to be in this, maybe in this final category. If he's got to decide if he wants that Penn State connection or not. If he does, yes. Matt Rule, Manny Diaz, does he want the more recent connection or the old Joe Paterno connection? If he wants that clean slate, I think it's from this last list. But Andy, you know, it's like with this group, the Golish and Fish and Campbell, which one of them is dynamic enough to be the CEO of a big organization? Which one in that interview can explain to you why he's capable of swimming the ocean as opposed to the lake? And I think that's really important. Some of these guys aren't built for this, but, you know, a dozen years ago, James Franklin from Vanderbilt, not well known by the Penn State fan base.
Correct.
But I think he was the right guy for the job.
He was.
And I think, you know, you may hate this, but in a way, they're looking for the next James Franklin, the guy who has had success coaching, but is dynamic enough and can be the CEO of this big brand. All right, Andy, As always, it went way too fast. Thank you, Andy. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.